Well, I appreciate
Art and Melinda on that last song. Nothing like a persistent pastor. I really wanted that song to be sung, though, because it goes so well with our message. 1 John 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, abide in Christ, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And when John begins here with the word little children, that tells us that this is addressed to believers, those that the Holy Spirit has sanctified, given a new heart, He makes teachable like a little child. Our Lord said that unless you be converted and become as little children, teachable, trustworthy, dependent, like a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. So before we can obey verse 28, before we can enter into what this means and obey what it says, we have to believe on Lord Jesus Christ. We can't abide in Christ until we're in Christ. So I press upon you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ now. If you're not in Christ, it's because you don't believe in Christ. If you don't believe on Christ, you're yet in your sin. This is the day of grace. This is the day of salvation. Our Lord said, look unto me and be ye saved. Wherever you are in the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. He said, come unto me. Look and seek me while I may be found. And you'll find mercy. You'll find mercy. Believe on the Lord now. But now for you who believe on Him, you who trust the Lord by His grace and by His power, the Apostle John declares three things here. First, he declares a blessed truth that we should think about very often. Our Lord Jesus Christ shall come again. He shall return in like manner as we saw Him depart. He's going to return. And two, he tells us, he gives us an exhortation. And he says, now, little children, abide in Him. And we must heed this. This is so very important. This is more important than anything else. Abide in Christ. And then thirdly, he gives us the reason. And it's this, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So our subject is abide in Him. And here's what we see. By abiding in Christ, we shall have confidence and we shall not be ashamed when Christ returns. By abiding in Christ, we'll not be ashamed. We'll have confidence even when Christ returns. Now, first of all, the truth. This blessed truth, our Redeemer shall come again. Our Redeemer is going to come again to this earth like He came the first time. Except for this time He's coming as the glorified God-man, the victorious Redeemer, having already finished all the work. Turn with me to John 14. We have this promise of His coming again from Christ Himself. He told us this. This is the night before He was betrayed, or before He was crucified. He was comforting His apostles, and John was there. John heard all this. And I want you to see what he said. Look here in John 14, 1. He comforts us with the same promise. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Well, didn't they believe in Christ? What he's saying is, you believe in God, who you can't see. You don't see the Father, yet you trust that He's present. You trust He's protecting you and guiding you and keeping you. And he says, as you believe in the Father who you don't see, believe also in me, now that I'm going to depart and you'll see me no more. Believe in me the same way. He said he would still be with us. He said, lo, I'll be with you always to guide you and protect you and keep you. And that's how our hearts are not troubled. Whom having not seen, you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. By faith we see him, and we know and we believe the things that said concerning him. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's permanent dwelling places. Permanent dwelling places. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. In God the Father's house, there are many permanent dwelling places. How many? The exact number that God chose and gave to Christ before the foundation of the world. No more, no less than the exact number of elect that He chose in Christ before the world was made. And there won't be any vacancies when our Lord gets done. He won't lose one of them. They'll all be there, every one of them. Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Christ was going to the cross. And He went to the cross, and by His death and by His resurrection, He prepared a place for His people. By His blood, He justified us. He put away our sins. He brought in an everlasting righteousness for His people. He prepared a place just for you who believe on Him. He entered into the Holy of Holies as the High Priest, our great High Priest, with the names of His people on His breastplate. He entered in, just like pictured in the High Priest in the Old Testament. And He prepared a place for us. He's prepared a place for us. And He says here in verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's not going to send for you. He said, I will come again. He Himself is coming again. The Lord Himself shall descend. That's what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those that have died in Christ, they're going to rise first. And then you and I who remain, if we're alive when He comes, we'll be caught up into the air with Him. But He's coming Himself. And He said, I'm coming to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Remember what He said to that dying thief? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He said, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. He prayed the Father for this. Father, I will. You and I can't pray that way. But He said, Father, I will that those whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. And I'll tell you, He's going to have what He prayed for. Christ's word is our assurance. It's our assurance. His returning again is our hope. We have the assurance that He promised us He's coming again. And we have this as our blessed hope. He's coming. He's coming. We're looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is our consolation when we're groaning under this body of sin and when we're groaning in this world of sin. This is our comfort. This is our consolation. There's another song a couple of pages over from the one that we sang. and says, He's coming again, He's coming again. The very same Jesus rejected of men with power and great glory, He is coming again. Now here's the exhortation. Go back with me to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 28. Now little children, abide in Him. Now there's no doubt that John is addressing them as little children because of His great love for those begotten through His preaching. A pastor has a love for those that the Holy Spirit makes to be born again through His ministry. He has a love for them just like a father has a love for his children. And I'm sure that's what he meant by this. And a pastor can give no more loving exhortation than to exhort you to abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. But I believe from this context, we've seen this about how he said he's given the unction of the Spirit. And this is from the Holy One. The Spirit came from Christ. He said, I will pray the Father. And He will send the Comforter in My name. So this anointing we have of Him, He's the one that gets the glory here, according to John, for teaching us. It's Christ Himself. That's who He's talking about. And as He teaches you, you'll abide in Him. And go with me over to John 13. I believe here the reason He says little children is because this is what Christ said that night when He was comforting them. I want to show you something here. John 13, 33. He says, little children. See there, little children. This is Christ speaking to John. This is Christ speaking to His apostles. This is Christ speaking to you and me who believe. Little children, yet a little while, I'm with you. You shall seek Me, He said. But He says, whither I go, you cannot come. Now drop down to chapter 14 and look at verse 18. He says there about how He's going to give the Spirit and He's going to abide with us and He'll be with us and He'll teach us. Just like John says in 1 John chapter 2. But look here now. Verse 18. John 14, 18. Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now look in the margin. You see what the word is there for comfortless? In the margin, it's orphans. I won't leave you as orphans. He's saying, I will not leave you orphans, but My little children, I will come to you. By the anointing of the Spirit, I will come to you. That's what Christ is saying there. I'm not going to leave you orphans because you're My little children. He's our everlasting Father. And all you who believe are His little children. And He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. Just not going to do it. And so if you read John 13 through 15 here, you'll see that what he heard Christ declare that night is what John's declaring in 1 John 2. And that's why he uses this word, little children. See, his intent here, when you get over there and you look back at chapter 2, what he's been doing is, he's been showing believers how deeply indebted we are to Christ. He says in verse 1, Christ is our advocate, and He's the propitiation for our sin. He's our righteousness. He said in verse 2, that He's our righteousness, the propitiation for our sins. He said in verse 6, He's our example that we're to walk after and we're to follow. He said in verses 12 through 14, He's the reason we have these blessings. Forgiveness of sins, and we've overcome the wicked one, and we know the Father. This is because of Christ. And then in verses 20 through 27, he says it's from Christ that we have the unction. It's from the Holy One that we have the unction. It's from Christ. He prayed the Father, and the Father sent the Spirit in His name. And so in verse 28, it's from this relationship of Christ as our everlasting Father, and you and I who believe as His little children, that John exhorts us and says, now, little children, abide in Him. You see what he's saying? He's your advocate. He's your propitiation. He's your righteousness. He's your example. He's your blessing. He's why you have all these blessings. He's the Holy One who's given you this unction, who's teaching you and teaching you to follow Him and to abide in Him. He says, now, little children, abide in Him. Abide in Him. Now, this word to abide, it's translated in other places, continue. It's translated dwell. It's translated remain. Abide in Christ. Continue in Christ. Dwell in Christ. Remain in Christ. That's what He's exhorting us to do. It means as a permanent dwelling place, abide in Him. Now, Lord willing, in the morning I'm going to fly down to Arkansas. And after the meetings Friday night, I'm going to stay at a hotel in Magnolia, Arkansas. I'm not going to be abiding in that hotel. I'm just going to lodge there. When I come home to my house, where my bed is and my chair is and my wife and my children, then I'm going to abide. But I'm just going to lodge in that motel. And He's telling us here, don't lodge in Christ. Abide in Christ as a permanent dwelling place that you can't go out of. Stay in Christ. Now, to abide in Christ, first of all, is to abide in the truth of the gospel of Christ. He says there in 1 John 2:24, He said, let that therefore abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Remember when I read to you from John 14, Christ said, if a man keep my words, if he keeps my saying, my Father and I have come to him and we'll make our abode with him. That's exactly what He said there. If you let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning, Christ's gospel, His words. Remember the Apostle Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words. You have the words. Christ said, if a man keeps my words, if he believes on me and abides in me, He says, my Father and I will come to him and make our abode. And John says, if that remains in us which we heard from the beginning, you'll continue in the Son and in the Father. Because they'll come and they'll continue in you and you'll continue in them. You remember when you read a if-then statement in the Scripture, don't read it as a condition, read it as a promise. Because whatever the Lord commands you, the Lord's going to do it for His people. So when He says here, if that which you've heard from the beginning shall remain in you, He tells us there the Lord's going to see to it it remains in His people. They're not going to fall away. But this is the point. Abide in the truth you heard from the beginning. Go back to 1 John 1. 1 John chapter 1. This is what he started with. Verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard of the word of life. Verse 2. The life was manifested. He said this is that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. Verse 3. He says, and that which we've heard, we declare unto you. That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Christ is in us, and the Father's in us, and we're in Him. That's what He's saying. Look here at verse 5. This then is the message. This is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light. He's truth. He's truth. And in Him's no darkness at all, no lie at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. We abide not in the truth we heard from the beginning. If we walk in a lie, if we go after a lie, we go after darkness. You remember when Paul talked about light and darkness, how they can't dwell together? He was talking about false preachers and a false gospel can't dwell together with the truth and with Christ in people in Christ. They can't dwell together. And that's what he's talking about here with darkness and light. He's talking about truth and lies. And he says, if we don't abide in the truth and continue in the truth of Christ that we heard from the beginning, then we're abiding in a lie. We're walking in darkness. We saw last time, no lies of the truth. And this is what he's saying here. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, that is, if we continually abide in the truth of Christ that saved us, that word that whereby you were begotten again, he says, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now, we ought to grow in knowledge. We ought to grow. We ought to know more today than we knew the first hour, we believe. But we continue in the same truth that we heard from the first hour. We don't change from that truth. So that's first of all, to abide in Christ, to abide in the truth of the gospel that you heard from the beginning. And then to abide in Christ is to continue in Christ as all our salvation alone. Remember when in John 14, when he was comforting them and he said, you know the way. And Philip said, we don't know the way. And he said, I'm the way. I'm the way. We need a reconciliation with the Father. Christ said, I'm the way. We need illumination. We need light. Christ said, I am the truth. I'm the truth. We need regeneration. Christ said, I am the life. And Christ said, no man comes to the Father but by me. That means only by Christ. Abiding in Christ is to abide in Him and Him alone. It's to trust Him and Him alone for everything you need. We need an advocate with the Father. It's Christ alone. We need a mercy seat for our sins. It's Christ alone. We need righteousness and holiness. It's Christ alone. Christ is everything that we need. John said, your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Not for any other reason. For His name's sake. We need Christ. Christ is all, and you're complete in Him. Complete in Him. Listen to this statement. For you that believe, I got this from Spurgeon. I try to put it in my own words. But listen to this. Abide in Christ as the only thing you have, like the first hour you believed when Christ was the only thing you had. Remember when you first believed, you didn't have any experiences, you didn't have any works, you didn't have any graces yet. All you had was Christ. That's what it is to abide in Christ. Continue putting your confidence nowhere but Christ alone, just like you did in that first hour. Isn't it something how we think we get smart and we think we get some understanding of things, and God grows you in grace, increases your graces a little bit, and then all of a sudden all these other things start competing for Christ. And when we first started, all we had was Christ. I tell you where we're going to end up. All we're going to have is Christ. And so that's what he said. Now continue in Christ alone. He's all our salvation. And then here's thirdly, to abide in Christ is to live upon Christ in utter dependence for everything. Little children, that also reminds us of our utter weakness. Go back over there to John 15. Look what Christ said. John 15:4, he said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now, brethren, it don't get any weaker than that. It does not get weaker than that. The Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. You go home and chop a branch off of a tree in your yard and see what that branch can do without that tree. Nothing. It's going to die. And Christ said, that's you without me. Without me, Christ said, you can do nothing. There's a word in the scriptures over in Proverbs. The word is coney, the conies. And from everything I can tell when I read that, it's a little mouse that lives in the mountains. He's talking about ant. He talks about the locusts and these all these little bitty things. And he talks about a coney. And that's a mouse that abides in the mountain. And he says this, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses. They make their abiding places in the rocks. And that's what he's telling you and me. We're like the little mouse. We're feeble. So utterly feeble, we're totally helpless. But he's saying, make your permanent dwelling place in Christ the rock. Just like that little mountain mouse. Abide in Christ. Remember how we saw that vanity means vapor? We need Christ for all, or all is vanity. If we don't have Christ for all, then all about us and all about our life in this world is vapor. And we sing that. I need thee every hour, in joy or in pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. If I don't have Christ abiding in me, and me abiding in Christ, then all I am and all my life is a vapor. That's it. That's what Christ means when he says, without me, you can do nothing. That's how helpless we are. We're really that helpless without Christ. So abiding in him is to depend upon him for all our strength. And then to abide in Christ is to obey Christ. It's to live for Christ. It's to live for His gospel. It's to live for His people. That's what He's talking about when He says, if you keep His commandments, you keep His sayings, keep His words. That's what He's talking about. And He goes on down there a little bit. He's telling you all along, believe in me, abide in me. And He gets down there and He says, and love your brethren. Love your brethren. We're fixing to go from chapter 2 and we're going to get into chapter 3 a little while later, and we're going to see how much John starts talking about loving your brethren. This is what it is to live for Christ, to obey Christ and to live for Him. Is to live for His gospel's sake, to spread His gospel forth, and for His people. It's for His people. That's what it is to keep His words. He says to us, love not the world, but He says, love your brethren. The devil and our own flesh would love for us to be enticed by the world so that we want to spend ourselves for the world because we want something. And so we go and we spend for the world. That's not abiding in Christ. That's not living for Christ and for His people. To do without personal wants in life so that we can provide for the needs of our brethren. That's what we're talking about. To set aside hurt feeling and to bear shortcomings of brethren so they can have the gospel in truth. And so we can send the gospel forth together in truth. That's loving brethren. And that's living for Christ. Who did He live for? He lived for His brethren. He lived for His people. And you know what He's telling us when He tells you to obey Him? He's telling us to live for His people. And that's living for Him. That's living for Him. Spurgeon said this. He said, when you get too old and feeble so that all you can do is lay in your sick bed, he said, cough for Christ. Cough for Him. Live for Him. Live for Him. Whatever you do, do it for Him. And then Fifthly, to abide in Christ is to persevere unto the end, doing all these things, abiding in Him. Persevere to the end, ignoring those who would seduce you into error and lead you astray so that you don't fall away like all the many antichrists that have fallen away. That's John's main purpose in declaring this, is he told us there's many antichrists that were with us and left. And they're in the world. And he says, I want you to abide in Christ. I don't want you to follow and be led away with the error of the wicked. And it's so subtle, brethren. I've seen it. I was sitting with some fellows one time, and they were asking me a bunch of questions on a particular doctrine. And it dawned on me, these fellows are going to use this doctrine to try to divide the brethren. But the problem was they couldn't agree on the doctrine themselves. But then another doctrine came along that they thought would be better. And they jumped on that, and they used that to start dividing brethren. You know what that showed me? They didn't care about the doctrine. All they cared about was causing a division. That's all. That's those he's talking about here that if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out. That it might be manifest they were not all of us. And he's saying, I don't want you to be led away with that. I want you to persevere unto the end in Christ. Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, Christ said. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's saying, watch therefore. Be diligent. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. This is not all there is. I enjoy going to a conference and getting to hear the gospel preached and seeing brethren I hadn't seen in a while. And I enjoy coming here and preaching the gospel to you and us fellowshipping with one another. But this is not all there is. Don't slumber. Don't sleep. Watch. Watch. And persevere to the end. Abide in Christ like Noah and his family abode in that ark. And for the same reason. Now here's the reason. Back to 1 John 2:28. Here's the reason. That when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. John included himself here. He's talking to those he ministered to, and he's an aged, old believer right here. And he included himself. So that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. We all need Christ alone. I need Christ alone just like you need Christ alone. I need to abide in Christ just like you need to abide in Christ. And another reason John said this is because John had to give account to Christ for those to whom he ministered. The pastor has to give account to those for whom he ministered. That's one reason John said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. Paul said, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. The pastor's glad to give account to Christ whether or not he was lazy and didn't preach the truth and didn't preach Christ alone, or whether or not he was faithful. He's going to have to give account. That's why the Scripture says to you who believe, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. As they that must give account. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. And then it says to the preacher, Paul said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. preach Christ. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the gospel. Just as he's telling us to abide in Christ, he tells his preacher, you preach Christ. Don't preach anything else. I love it here how he speaks of Christ appearing. He says Christ is going to appear. Christ is present. He said, I'm with you always. He's present with his people. We simply can't see him. That's the only thing. But he's present. Sometimes, you know what I'm talking about here, but you've done this, I'm sure. Melinda and I will be talking on the cell phone. She'll be somewhere and I'll be somewhere. And I'll be giving her directions where I'm at, you know, whatever. And so she's driving there and I'm on the phone. She's on the phone. And we're talking to one another. Just like you talk to Christ. You speak to Christ. You commune with Christ right now. But I can't see her and she can't see me. And then all of a sudden she rounds the corner and she appears. And you know that little feeling when you see one another and you're talking to one another on the telephone and you kind of laugh, you know. That's going to be it. He's just going to appear. If we knew what a believer experiences the moment they close their eyes in death and Christ appears, if we knew the joy they experienced, we wouldn't ever shed another tear for any of our departing brethren at all. They close their eyes and Christ appears. Just in an instant. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. Nothing to weep about. We ought to rejoice and be happy. And boy, that's the greatest thing that could happen to a believer. But if you're in Him, if you're in Christ, and He's your only righteousness, He's your all, He's everything you need for acceptance with God, He's your all, you will not be ashamed when He comes. You'll have confidence when He comes. There's going to be some, Scripture says, are going to run and hide and try to beg for the rocks to fall on them. But if you're in Christ, you just think that Christ is coming back one day. What do you think your reaction is going to be when you see Christ? If He's your only hope, this word says you will not be ashamed. And not only will you not be ashamed, you'll be confident. You'll be confident. Paul said, I want to be found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is after the law, but I want to have that righteousness which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God. That's where I want to be found. That's what John's telling us. Be abide in Him. In His righteousness only. There'll be no confidence for those that aren't ready. They'll be like those foolish virgins. Go to Matthew 25. We'll close with this. Remember those foolish virgins? They weren't ready. Are you ready? They weren't ready. Matthew 25. And they didn't have oil in their lamps. And so, I'm just going to read half of it here. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. They weren't ashamed. They had confidence. They went in. They were ready. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. What's he saying? Let your loins be girded about, your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he'll return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. What does he say about them? Blessed are they. They're happy. They're going to have joy. Why? Because he's going to come in and gird himself and set you down at his table and he's going to serve you. Won't be ashamed at all. Won't be ashamed at all. So here's the question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Abide in Christ and Him alone. And you'll be ready. You will be ready. And what a day that'll be. That song says, O blessed hope, O blissful promise, filling our hearts with rapture divine, O day of days. Hail thy appearing, thy transcendent glory forever shall shine. Are you ready? If you have Christ and He's all you have, then you're ready. You'll not be ashamed. Amen. Brother Art.